This edition of the Monocle Arts Review was first broadcast on the 30th of July 2015 on Monocle 24. Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Matt Allagaya. Today I'm joined by Charmaine Lovegrove, co-founder and creative director of Dialogue Berlin and book scout for Fremantle Media. Yesterday, the long list for the 47th International Man Booker Prize was announced, and so, on today's show, we'll be discussing the competition and focusing on three of this year's nominees: Sunjeev Sahota, Chigozie Obioma, and Marlon James. That's all to come here on the Arts Review on Monocle 24. Welcome to the show, Charmaine. As I just mentioned, today we're looking at some of the nominations for the Man Booker Prize. What do you make of this year's list?
I was really incredibly surprised and really happy by this year's list because it really showed how when you have a diverse judging panel, then you have a diverse range of storytellings that come through on the list. And to me, that was really important because I'd never really seen so many African, first Jamaican writer, Asian writer on the list, as well as obviously all the kind of stellar A-list British and American writers. And I think because the prize has become more international over the last couple of years, then this year it seemed to have really sort of found its place within a diverse range of international voices.
Right. Was there anyone that you kind of expected to see and you're slightly disappointed that they didn't make the cut?
No, I think because the spaces that may have been taken up by a writer that I may have expected to see were taken up by debut writers that I hadn't. And so therefore, that's what makes it really exciting. And that's what makes it really interesting for new audiences and new readers that are coming to the list.
Today, we're going to discuss three of the nominated books. And your first choice from the list is The Year of the Runaways by Sunjeev Sahota, which was released this June. This tells the story of a group of male Indian immigrants in Sheffield, Northern England, thrown together in search of a new life. Charmaine, what is it about this story that's earned it its nomination?
Well, I think we often hear about such people, sort of migrants, from sort of right-wing political press, from the mail, from right-wing political government. And, you know, immigration and migration, the concepts are often conflated. And I think that this book really puts that spell to sort of disbelief. I think that there's a myriad of voices which allows the truth of some of these migrant groups to come to the fore. And it really focuses on the smaller rather than larger injustices of the sort of everyday. And I think that's where the writing of Sanjeev, the wider picture of what it's like to be a migrant in Britain today, the cultural values, the cultural British values alongside the religious morality plays a really strong part in the story. And I feel that that's kind of that edge of knowledge and depth of knowledge that the writer has really earned his place on the prize.
Right. You mentioned these kind of small injustices. That's a nice way of putting it. What are some of the examples of that come through in the book?
Well, there's Narinda, for example. She's a British Sikh woman whose story I followed with the most interest. And I think kind of her desire to keep her religious morality in line with her, you know, her father's expectation with her and her cultural expectation at the same time as trying to work out who she is within British society. And she's constantly sidestepping quite a fine tightrope. She's always walking that line. And you really, really feel for her story. There's a really unlikely friendship between an Englishman and an Indian call centre worker. So the book is in lots of little novellas. In the first part, and then the second part, it kind of weaves all these characters together. But there's an Englishman and an Indian call centre guy who speak across countries and across continents, and we've all done that. But these guys strike up this really unlikely friendship, and then one day the Indian call centre guy comes to England and arrives at his doorstep, and it opens this massive can of worms about identity and culture and the complexities of friendship when you're dealing with different cultures. And it's those kinds of everyday scenarios that kind of make the book quite extraordinary.
Right. I mean, you mentioned the Englishman there. There aren't that many English characters in the book, though, are there? I mean, you're really thrown into this kind of world of illegal immigration. I mean, what do you end up making of that? I mean, does it lack that a bit, the sort of interaction between English characters?
No, I think that ultimately when you're within a culture, that you're often encountering people from that culture. And if what we've seen with other Booker Prize nominations in the past, and often what's quite difficult with publishing right now, is that a lot of voices are from a sort of white middle class background and then are not representing different cultures. And so it kind of makes sense that when there's a diverse voice, that you will just kind of be it will be a microcosm on that culture. So I don't think that we're lacking anything by not having kind of more English voices, because in fact what it's showing is the duality of being, you know, some characters like Navinda are British and immigrant. There are some middle class Indian characters who consider themselves middle class in India, and then when they get to England, they see themselves as being almost like a low caste, and just seeing how they're dealing with that. And I think why it's important for these kinds of stories is so that we as readers then empathise with people who are going through those struggles on a daily basis.
The Year of the Runaways by Sanjeev Sahota is published by Picador. Let's move on now to The Fisherman by Chigozie Obioma. Set in 1990s Nigeria, four brothers skip school and head out on a fishing trip where they meet a madman who persuades the oldest that he is destined to be killed by one of his siblings. The story is told through the eyes of the youngest brother, 9-year-old Benjamin. Charmaine, do you think that point of view from the youngest brother is what makes the book so effective?
Yeah, because there's this total innocence of your life, you know, this 9-year-old, his life changing in front of him, and everybody that he looks up to, everybody that is supposed to protect him, can no longer do that, and they're all questioning themselves and essentially falling apart. And I think that, you know, to have that real innocence, really makes the story a lot more intriguing.
Right. I mean, there's something kind of almost like a parable about this work. Many of the actions and objects have symbolic significance, and there's obviously this seemingly magical prophecy as well. Do you think that kind of makes it slot into a certain genre for you?
I think that it just allows a different type of storytelling, and I think it sort of makes it quite clear that we're dealing with an African storyteller. I had the opportunity to go for dinner with Chikoze when he for his launch, and, you know, sitting next to him and understanding his journey of how he lived in Cyprus to study, and then he went to Minnesota, you know, in America, and his homesickness for Nigeria. It's really interesting. You know, he always talks about it in a childlike way, and that doesn't surprise me that that's what really comes across in the story. And storytelling at the heart of African culture, and especially Nigerian culture, is really key. So, it only adds to the interest around a different type of writer. And in terms of sort of the parables, you know, the father is a really progressive man, and then but he also carries these, you know, he really wants his children to experience education and be really strong within a professional environment as a way out of corruption. And he talks about like the river and the seas and the oceans and the things that he really, really wants them to experience. And, you know, then it's the river and the sea and the oceans that actually kind of end up bringing the family to this sort of point of tragedy, which I found really interesting.
Right. And this is Obioma's first novel. How do you rate this as a debut? And how do debut novelists generally tend to do in the Man Booker Prize?
Well, there's been a couple of debuts that have won, but it's normally a second book. It's normally a strong second book. And, you know, this book is really down to Eleanor Lapin, who is his publisher at One, which is an imprint of Pushkin Press. And Eleanor publishes four books a year, and it's always their debut novel. And so, you know, this is a key story within her imprint, which really shows that we really have to push debut writers, and we really have to make space for debut writers within our publishing schedules and within our on readers' bookshelves. And, you know, this story, it's not just a parable, it's also really political, and it's sort of underlying this question of about making mistakes, and when you get into a situation that's unknown and you make a mistake, when you meet someone and you don't know what's going to happen. So when the curse is put onto the boys, onto Ikenna, then, you know, they have no idea that this could occur or how their lives are going to unravel. And the political sentiment from that is that countries like Nigeria are kind of have made mistakes and are being penalised for that politically. And we're seeing that all over the world. And I think that that's also the different, you know, there's a religious parable, but there's also a political one as well.
That's very interesting. The Fisherman by Chigozie Obioma is published by One. Your third choice today, Charmaine, is Marlon James's A Brief History of Seven Killings. This is a fictionalised account of an attempted assassination of reggae star Bob Marley in 1976, told by ghosts, killers, CIA agents and beauty queens, amongst others. How does the storyline unfold?
So this was kind of originally an article by a Rolling Stone journalist, and in the book it's conveyed through this journalist piecing it together. And basically, it's just like a cacophony of so many different elements of this mysterious island and culture that so few people know about. And so obviously you start with this incredible figure of Marley, who's always referred to as a singer. And then you are going from New York, from Alex Pierce's perspective, and then you're seeing the assassinators, and then you get glimpses of Marley in London, when you've got the CIA and drug raids. And, you know, it's for so many, it's Jamaica's this idyllic island that reggae comes from. But the reality of sort of how right-wing and left-wing politics works and how they use sound systems as political aggregators is absolutely fascinating. And I remember when this book came out, and a friend of mine who's a writer said, I can't believe that this isn't on this year's Booker Prize. And I said, well, he put it on Facebook, and I said, well, maybe wait till next year, because it fits into next year's, and here it is. And, you know, it's a huge book. And everyone has just been astounded by how well it did in terms of sales when it first came out. And this is the first Jamaican writer to ever be on the Booker Prize. And I think, you know, whatever happens next, Marlon James has got a lot to be proud of really bringing this country to the fore with this huge kind of political and cultural tome.
You spoke about the fact that it's kind of multivocal in a way. It's been said that the kind of multiple narrators makes the story quite a tricky read. How do you assess that? I mean, do you think it would have worked just as well if it was told just through one voice?
I mean, I think books should be tricky. You know, I think we should work hard. I think it shouldn't all be laid onto us, because the world is tricky, and we live with a cacophony of voices. We do live with lots of different languages around us and lots of different classes around us. And I think to expect to go through life and not encounter those is a real shame. And so I think that our writers should also make us engage with that at the same time.
Yeah, fair enough. James's portrayal of violence has been compared to Tarantino, the film director, Quentin Tarantino. I guess this book isn't really for the faint of heart then.
No, not at all. And, you know, I think that's the thing, is that you're not dealing with a sunshine island. You're dealing with an island that's which has a lot of issues with drugs and corruption, and has an unfortunate history. And so I think that to shy away from the violence is to not to tell the story of Jamaica and its cultural history.
I mean, you mentioned that this is the first, you know, Jamaican writer we've had ever on the Man Booker Prize list. How does the country itself come across? I mean, you mentioned that, you know, it's not this idyllic island. Yeah. Is there another good side to it rather than just the violence and the crime?
Yeah, of course. I mean, my family, all my grandparents are Jamaican, so you know, Jamaica is a really important country to me and is very much part of my culture, be it from South London. But, you know, it is also a totally idyllic island, and St. Elizabeth, where my grandma's from, and Montego Bay. And, you know, it's famed for its beaches. And, you know, there's Chris Blackwell who lives there, and a lot of amazing musicians have lived there for generations. And I love this idea also that there's whole generations of kind of British aristocracy who've made their homes there, and sort of the original Trustafarians actually come from Jamaica and lived between Kingston and Notting Hill in the 60s. And so, you know, it's got this really rich cultural heritage that it shares with Britain. And I think it's an amazing place to go on holiday. But I think to see it from one perspective is to not really understand its history within the culture of the transatlantic slave trade.
A Brief History of Seven Killings by Marlon James is published by Riverhead Books and One World Publications. Charmaine, before we go, who would you like to see take home the prize this year?
Oh, it's so difficult. Between James and Ovioma, those two would be my favourite. You know, I just think The Fisherman was really, really wonderful and really puts African writing, continues to put it on the map. And, you know, to have a Jamaican writer to win would, I don't think I could quite stand it through the tears. It would mean so much to so many people to have a Jamaican writer win.
Right, I'm afraid there we must leave it. My thanks to Charmaine Lovegrove for joining me in the studio today. You've been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Matt Alagaya. My producer was Holly Fisher and my researcher was Fernando Augusto Pacheco. We'll be back at the same time tomorrow for this week's film review. But for now, goodbye from me and thanks for listening.